This is Prophecy Now. I'm Liberty, your host from Spirit Move Ministry. Let's just jump in and talk about times and seasons, prophecy, everything that God's doing right now, and what we need to be preparing for. Enjoy the show.
Hey guys, this is Liberty from Prophecy Now and Spirit Move Ministries. It's awesome to have you listening here on Prophecy Now podcast. I would like to remind you of our Dream Talks deal that we have going on right now. I have an 8-session Dream Talks e-course that I have for sale through spiritmoveministry.co. You have receive the first session for free here on Prophecy Now. I would like to offer 2 coupon codes for those who are Prophecy Now listeners. The first coupon code is PROPHECY10 with a capital P. This will be 10% off either session 1 or session 2, basically Dream Talks 1 or Dream Talks 2, each have 4 sessions, or you can bundle it and use the coupon code PROPHECY15 to receive 15% off the bundle of Dream Talks 1 and 2. I hope that you guys will take advantage of these discounts and be blessed by the e-course, and it's awesome to have you as a listener to our Prophecy Now podcast.
Hey guys, it is Liberty from Spirit Move Ministries, and I'm very excited to be on with you. Even as I'm recovering from Kenya, it was an amazing time in Kenya, and I have stories, which I said on social media that I would tell some stories. but first, I just want to say thank you to everyone who gave to make everything possible that we did there. You'll understand even more of the impact that you made here in just a minute when I explain to you everything that happened there. And this video is a warning dream the Lord gave me, and he said it was time to release it. And but I wanted to be a little more fresh and have my brain back from all the traveling, because it was like 30 hours between 3 flights there and then all the days of ministry there, 7 or 8 days, and then the travel back. So it's been amazing though, you guys. And such a blessing. All of our students that came from all over the United States to join in and serve had an amazing time. They have amazing stories to tell. But I want to thank you for making it possible, because even if you can't go, you're helping me to go and the ministry to go and to do what God's called us to do there. And we accomplished a lot while we were there, and it was amazing, amazing, amazing. And so very quickly, some of the stories, let me remind you, Anointed to Win conference is coming up. That is based on my book, Anointed to Win. It's a deliverance conference, and it's all about breaking the spirit of failurism. And so the whole conference is going to be deliverance and freedom and restoration and all that. So it's going to be at Story Life Church here in Apopka, Florida. Used to be City of Destiny. It's Paula White's church. They renamed it Story Life. And so that is where we are doing it. They are hosting the event, and we are very, very honored to have that. And so, but that is the end of the month. I believe like the 27th and 28th of June, or the 28th and 29th, the last Friday and Saturday of June. You're going to want to book your hotel. I recommend Hilton Hotels or Marriott's. But if you do the Marriott, you know, you might want to remove certain things from your room and then anoint it real well. Well, you should do that anywhere, but especially there. But Hilton is a good choice, okay, in America or anywhere. Just saying. So, but we want to see you at Anointed to Win. We are going to have a certain amount of slots for childcare for children 5 and under. If you are going to need that, there is a fee for that, but you need to get your slot of it. You need to get on and get your ticket so you have childcare available for both days. And so we're excited about that. Story Life has a great kid zone, and an area for where your kids can go, and they will have a great time while you're being delivered. Amen. And so if you have not read my book, I recommend you read it before you come, so you're ready for deliverance and you understand kind of what's going to be happening when you're there. And I'm excited, very, very excited to see all that God's going to do. Okay, back to Kenya. So very quickly, I'm going to tell you, I know I say that a lot. I am going to be quick. I can be quick, you guys. I can be quicker, faster. Okay. Not always, but you know, I can attempt it. Okay. So, we got there and of course, the crusade was set up. We realized it was a much bigger thing, and I feel like this part of it has to be told before I release the warning dream and the reason for this video. I've got to give God credit for all that he was doing on the ground there in Kenya, and I feel like those of you who support what we do need to know everything that God did there, and you deserve to know and hear the story and the testimonies. And so, like I said, very quickly, I will tell you what all happened there. But basically, the pastor and the ministry there, very fruitful. He has church plants and churches under him. And they're spread out all over Kenya. He has trained up pastors. They have multiple campuses all over Kenya. Ministry is very fruitful. But he chose to put his ministry in the middle of the slums. If you don't know about Africa, that would be what probably is considered the worst area. They do not have running water. They do not have bathrooms. They do not have toilets. They have to use an outhouse. It's legit, you guys. And so the bathroom is a hole in the ground in an outhouse. And, you know, so they don't have, you know, they have electricity, but that's about it. And so the church building that he got originally used to be a Catholic church that owned it. And then he was able to acquire it from them. And so it's right in the middle of the slums. He wants to reach those people. And so just an amazing, amazing ministry, amazing fruit. They have, like I said, churches all over Kenya, pastors that he has personally trained up. And they are trying to reach the entire nation, and they're just doing amazing things for the Lord. But the reality is they're in the very poor areas. And so his heart was to set up and do crusades right in the middle of the slums. There's like a big open field. And so that's where we were every night. And as we were there, I know that he was hoping for larger crowds. I think we had maybe 1,000 each night, and then on the outskirts, all the people that hung out in this slums area, they were listening, but they were just kind of sitting on the outskirts. And you know, and I was like, okay, God, what all are you up to? Why fully am I here? Because you know I'll come for one. And he knows that about me. If he sends me, I'm gonna go. I have nothing to prove. No one, you don't have to say to me, we guarantee a big old crowd if we bring you in. I'm going to go there and do what Jesus has called me to do, even if it's for the one, because he would do it for the one. He died for the one. And so, numbers didn't matter to me. They don't matter to me. If you haven't figured that out already by my ministry, and I tell you just like it is, I'm not an ear tickler. If I was worried about numbers, I would not be in your face. Okay. So, but the thing is, I could tell the pastor was just like, man, because this was his first time really trying to do something so big. And, I felt like it was beyond fruitful, beyond. And so God gave me the theme for the week, and I'll go through this part very quickly. I promise I'm trying, you guys. The theme for the week was look to the Lamb. Tell Kenya to look to the Lamb. And every night he had me release a new word based on what the Lamb represents. The Lamb who was slain was the first night. The second night was the Lamb who heals. The third night is the Lamb with all rule and all authority in heaven and on earth. And the fourth was, can you see the Lamb? And by then we had a whole week of miracle signs and wonders. And of course, I spoke every night. We did church conference during the day. He invited pastors from all over the nation to come to his church during the day, pastors and leaders and intercessors that had local ministries. They all came, and then we ministered to them during the day. And so, but that was more for people who were already saved. The crusades were for miracle signs and wonders to show them who the Lamb is. And so it was an amazing time. And I was like, okay, God, I know you have us here for a bigger reason. What is up? And I knew by the first afternoon. So this is what happened. And I feel like if you gave to see us go to Kenya to minister, these are the stories you want to hear. It was amazing, you guys, amazing. So this pastor, Juma, and the ministry he has, like I said, is very fruitful. He's planted churches. He's trained up young pastors, lots of fruit, okay? And for God's kingdom. But so that he could afford to do ministry full time, he is living in a 10x12 room. I'm not joking. So we get there for the conference, and it's in the church in the middle of the slums. And so we have to hike down in there, which, you know, amen. And I have all the students with me. My two sons were with me. We were all together. And we hiked down to this little church that probably only holds about, you know, maybe with everybody and on the outside, 150 people. And we get down there. And afterwards, he said, I want, you know, to take you to my home to have lunch. You know, his wife and a couple of the other ladies had cooked food for us and the team. And so we get in there, and he takes us in, and it's a room. It's a 10x12 room. No shower, no kitchen, no bathroom, no nothing. And we come in, and he said, welcome to my home. And I was just like, oh my goodness. And in the Lord, like in the love of Jesus, okay? I was like, what is happening? And so as we were sitting there, because I'm nosy, I asked him, so this is your house? And he said, yes. And he said, I've been here for 15 years, me and my wife and my kids. His kids are young adults now, but they were raised there. And he said, this is all we can afford because of the ministry being in the slums. People cannot give very much. The amount that they give is very little. And he said, I've got to keep the bills at the church paid so the ministry can keep running. And he said, and then I have all these church plants that we're doing, and they've got to have help and support. So for 15 years, I've lived in this 10, me and my family have lived in this 10x12 room. This should, man, I can feel the glory. Oh, man. Does God have an awakening for the body of Christ? You have no clue what it actually means to be who he said we're supposed to be. Oh man, you guys, you're going to get me going, and I'm going to start. Okay. So, help me, Jesus. But he said they'd lived there for 15 years, and me and the team just sat there, and my sons, and we were just like, oh my goodness. And I, in my head, I'm going, what the heck? Like, the American church has no clue. We have no clue, you guys, to truly serve Christ. Man. And so I knew then, I was like, we're here for a way bigger purpose. And I said, so what is your big dream? Like, what is it you and your wife have been praying for? And he said, I've been praying that we get out of the slums. And we've been praying for years that somehow God would get us out of the slums into a proper place to live. And he says, I know he's going to do it. And his first dream, first, let me just say this first. His first thing he said was, sorry, I'm spitting on myself, okay? The first thing he said was the church. I want that building. I want to own it. I want the property around it. That's my dream. And at first, it wasn't a house for himself and his wife and his family. It was for the church to have it, to own its own building. And it blew my mind. And so not owned by money. It just blows your mind, literally. And then I said, okay, well, what's your next dream that might be personal to you? And he said that we could get out of the slums, out of this one room, and actually, you know, have a kitchen and a bathroom and everything. And I said, well, where is this place that you want, you've been praying for? And he said, well, it's down the road here, out of the slums. And I said, okay, well, what's the difference in price? You guys, where he was living was like $30 a month, American money. That's all he could afford on African money to be able to keep the church going and be able to put all the money into the church. And so, and be able to do ministry full time. And I was just like, any of you been following me for a while, you know that I'm like, this is not okay. Like, I don't think so. Jesus is king, and he is the king of Pastor Juma, who is the pastor of the ministry. And I was like, no. And so, in my head, you guys, okay. And so I said, okay, I said, tomorrow I want you to take me to this place that is your dream to get moved into. So between services, between the conference services and the crusade, we went and drove around, and I had him take me to this location. And we get there, and I'm just telling you, it was not, okay, it was not up to par. But to him, it was a mansion. And I said, immediately the Lord gave me a prophecy, a prophetic word for him. And I just started prophesying over him on the spot. And I said, the Lord says, you are his faithful son, and he has much better for you than this. And that he has sent me from America, Apostle Liberty from Spirit Move Ministries, to tell you he is taking you up and out of the slums this day. The slums are done. Your dream is here. Your prayers are being answered. And he's taking you to a new level. You have been his faithful son. He has heard every prayer. Man. So, long story short, that was not okay. So I told the interpreter, I said, and also his security, our security, I said, we need to look at better places. So he went searching, and the next day we went, and between conference during the day and the crusade at night, looking at houses for him, and found him a very nice place out of the slums, two bathrooms, a kitchen, three bedrooms, and everything, at a very, very low budget compared to what we pay to live. Like, when I mean low, I mean low. Okay. And, I got together with the team, and I said, here's the thing. We're moving them up and out of the slums, and it's a new day. And this is, we're here to be the answer to their prayers. That's what God's called us here. First and foremost, above the crusades or anything else, we are here to bless this man of God who has fruit, you guys. He has no money, but they have fruit, spiritual fruit. Anyway, so we moved him into their house. We went and bought them all new furniture, appliances. We got them all set up. I wanted to make sure it was all ready to go before we left. I personally talked to the landlady, who is a Catholic Christian. And you guys already know, okay, I'm really nice and I'm very happy. But sometimes I just have to be the apostle, and I'm like, this needs cleaned. It needs repainted. And she didn't argue with none of it. She was like, I gave her a list and I said, these things need to be done in 2 days. You guys, I was nice, but I was like, for real, we're moving him out of the slums before we leave. So, anyway, I knew there was a greater purpose. So for those of you who gave to make it possible, you need to know your finances, your seed that you sowed was well spent in Kenya. And, it was a good portion of it was used for his glory in a mighty way. This pastor's life has been changed forever. Now, let me tell you this part before I get on to the warning dream. And I'm sorry if this offends you that this is ministry. This is what we do. And I'm going to talk about ministry. I'm not a YouTuber. I'm not a 1 minute prophet. Okay. I do ministry. And so, but you want to know what will blow your mind and blew all of our minds. I was not told this till the last, day of the event, the last day of the crusade. He announced to his church that I was helping him get out of the slums and that his prayers had been answered. And the entire church started applauding. Then he announced that a week before an apostle had come to visit, a different apostle, an African apostle, and had spoken a word to him and said, very soon, God is going to promote you. You are going to move out of the slums and you are going to the next level in him. I didn't know any of that until that moment, after we already moved him and got him a new house and everything, literally. And so me and my sons and the team just sat there literally and wanted to cry in the glory. And we were just like, whoa, 1 week later, God sent us there, you guys. And we were an answer. We were the fulfillment to the prophecy that was just spoken over him the week before. And so what an amazing thing. I release prophecy all the time, but what an amazing thing to be on the end of fulfilling it. Amen. Beautiful, you guys, beautiful. And I'm going to be sending out more information. If you would like to support Pastor Juma and his ministry and the churches that he has under him, trained up those pastors and that he's running those churches, and he has fruit, you guys. If you want to help support their ministry so that they can have everything that they need, you need to know American money goes really far there. So even if you can only give $50 a month or something, or $25 a month, it's better than nothing, you guys. It's a lot to them. It's a lot to them. And so, okay, now on to the prophetic dream that the Lord gave me. It's a warning dream, you guys. And so, if you see by the title, it was, you know, the dragons, I'm not sure what I'm calling it yet, but the dragons coming together two by two. And so in my dream, I was in my house and it became very dark and gloomy outside. Like it was about to be a storm. And as the storm was coming and everything looked kind of darkish outside, I was like, oh man, you know, a storm's coming or it's getting really dark outside. And I went up to the window in my kitchen and I looked out and I saw these like flying dragon dinosaurs, like the smaller ones that are super evil on Jurassic Park. You know, the ones that shouldn't be the most evil ones, but they're the smallest and they're the most evil. Those ones, but they were flying like dragons. And all of a sudden I was looking out my window and I was like, oh man. And I saw them begin to partner up two by two. And they were flying around looking for homes to get into. And I went around my house very quickly and I locked all the doors. I closed all the windows. I locked them up tight and I looked out the window and I, basically knew that I had to prepare myself to be in a protected zone. I needed to protect myself and create a protective barrier. And this is what I was thinking the whole time in the dream. And so, when I woke up in the middle of the night, I wrote the dream down and I was like, okay, God, that's a very obvious dream. but help me to explain to people, number one, this is a big old warning. You guys, the invisible is more real than what we see with our eyes. Number two, the demons, the serpents, the snakes, the dragons, whatever you want to call them, they're all over searching for ways in to your territory, whether it's your house, your ministry, your family, your church, your community. They're looking for open doors and open windows. You don't want open doors and open windows. And so I said, Lord, I said, what am I telling your people with this dream? And he's like, Liberty, they need to do certain things to protect themselves. And he said, logically speaking, you can't close a window like on your house and keep a demon out. But he said, there's spiritual things they need to be doing. We are in the last days. It is getting darker out there. It was getting really dark outside, you guys. And there's a reason why it was the 2x2. They were flying single, and then they began to gather hands and unify 2x2, looking for whom they could get in to those places and find an open door or an open window. And so this is what the Lord said. In light of everything we see happening, you guys, things are only going to get worse. Yes, there's a special protection the body of Christ is going to have, just like the apostles. The devil couldn't kill them until it was their time. They were still able to go and accomplish everything God wanted them to accomplish. Now, for us, we're under an open heaven. If you've done certain things to be under an open heaven. And so it's up to you if you're under an open heaven and you have special protection. And so it looks like the locking of the doors, the closing of the windows, and being in your house knowing those demonic dragon intruders cannot get in. But the Lord said there's certain things, and you guys know since 2019, I've been telling you that God is doing all this stuff to get the body of Christ ready, because his bride is not ready. He's de-wrinkling. He's removing the stains. He's getting rid of mixture. He's removing Egypt. Like, there's all this stuff he's doing. And because otherwise we're not going to be ready. We're not going to have what we need for the storms, the real storms, you guys. He wants us to be able to be under an open heaven. He wants us to have the window shut and the doors shut and have that protection, to have everything sealed up. But there are certain things we have to do to have that protection. Now, number one, I'm going to just take you through some of them. Number one, because I already know, you know, if I don't tell you well, you're going to email me and you're going to ask me and I'm going to have to tell you. So you're going to just listen right here. Okay. Number one, you need to have a personal relationship with him. Not a relationship where you only spend time with him when you feel like it. You don't put him first. He's not your number one. You don't sit with him in the glory. You don't soak up his presence. You don't worship him. You don't acknowledge him. Now, a lot of people, if you're religious, I'm about to offend you. If you have religion, you already think you're doing that. You're not. Going to church and serving and being a Martha is not a relationship. Anybody that's even not saved can be busy. Busy, busy, busy. It doesn't make you Christ-like, and it doesn't position you to receive what's necessary for step two. Okay? So step one is all things come from step one. You have to know him. You have to have relationship with him. You have to know it'll never be you. If that's the biggest thing you get out of this word, it'll never be you. It's never gonna be you. That should be a song or a cheer. Okay? It's never gonna be you. It's always gonna be done through the power of the cross. It's always going to be his presence working through you. You're the vessel. You're the funnel. It's never going to be you. So with that in mind, you need to have a relationship with him to receive from his presence and be filled with him and the knowledge of him and the wisdom of him and knowing him, all of that, you guys, because that's what you're going to have to use. We come with nothing. He is everything. It's never going to be you. You can defeat a whole lot of demons by just recognizing it's never going to be you. It's him doing it. It's his presence. It's his power. It's the cross. It's never going to be us. Yes, we have to be obedient. We have to be faithful. We have to pick up our cross. You know, I've already told you all these things. We have to get ready. We have to be prepared. We have to do all the things he's telling us to do and align with his will. That's our part. But the other parts of it, if you want to be under an open heaven, you have to actually spend time with the person who owns heaven. So that's number one, okay? Is knowing everything you need, everything you're going to use to do all that he's called you to do is only from him. You can't drum it up. That won't take you very far. You'll get burnt out. Or you're going to fall into sin very quickly. We can all be tempted. But when you make him your everything and you love him above all things, you care what he thinks. You're less likely to fall into stupidity, okay? Number two, purity. I would love purity to be number one, but you cannot get pure without the number one, which is knowing him, having relationship with him, and being in his presence and giving him your first. Every day, guys. I know that blows some of your mind, and you've heard me say it. I've had people be like, I don't see the big deal why I got to spend time with him every day. Or I don't know why, you know, that's such a big deal. I go to church every week. I show up on Wednesday. I might even go to a connect group. So you're throwing him a bone. Wow. Aren't you so holy and good? Okay. Unless you're all in, you can't become all pure and all holy. Purity is your protection. Purity is your sealed up door and your sealed up windows. Now, Francis Frangipane, whom I love very much, and his ministry has blessed my life since I was a new believer. He has an awesome book called Shelter of the Most High. Okay, so my students, I have required reading for my students in supernatural school. And that book is a required reading. And so I inform the students ahead of time that it's not going to be what you think, but enjoy. Read the book. Have fun. So in the book, you look at the title and you think that he's going to tell you, oh man, Jesus is our strong tower. He's so good. He's our strength. He's our hope. He's our wonderfulness. No. You think that's what's going to happen by reading the cover of the book. Then you start reading it and you realize you're getting a big old butt whooping, a big old spanking. And it's all, the whole book is all about purity is your protection. You're the one that chooses if you have a shelter. You're the one that chooses if you have any kind of heavenly protection. Purity is your protection. Living holy, obedient, submitted. All those things add up to having his protection. And so he is the shelter of the Most High. But the level of protection you get is according to your holiness and purity, that you actually allow him to clean in you and work through you, and you become that. But you can never do that without number one. And that is putting him first, loving him first. He has to be first. And you have to know your limits. It's never going to be you. As soon as you start thinking it's you, you better repent and you better get a whole new plan. It's never going to be you. And so people ask me, and you might say, well, that lacks humility. No, it doesn't. Listen to what I'm about to say. People will ask me, so do you still get really nervous when you have to get up and speak or like release a word or whatever? And I say no, because it's not me. And you learn to get over anxiety and fear. That's not a lack of humility. It's knowing your source. My source is Jesus. To me, it's prideful to get all jammed up in yourself because then you think it's about you. You've made it about you. It ain't about you. It ain't about me. It's all about him. And so because of that, I don't have fear because if he's called me to do it, he'll give me the words. It's him speaking through me. I'm just the obedient vessel. At the end of the day, it's not me. It's never going to be me. And so I don't have any fear when I'm just obeying him. It's all him. And he taught me a long time ago, Liberty, I'm to blame. He's to blame. Whatever the outcome, he's like, because you're doing it for me. It's all me. It's never going to be you. So for one thing, that cures a lot of fear and anxiety to submit your life to him and be obedient. It's the most beautiful thing to obey him. So number three, be obedient. So you've got put him and his presence first. Know that he's your source. Unless you're fasting on purpose and skipping meals, do you not eat? Do you forget to eat? No. You can't forget to sit with Jesus. You can't. Okay. Have you ever had a day where you didn't make time for Jesus? And then later in the day, it was like 3 or 4 o'clock. You kept feeling like something's off. Like, man, something's off today. Like, I don't know. Like, maybe I just need to go exercise or I need to take a walk or whatever. Like, man, it just feels like something weird's happening all day long. It's because you didn't spend time with Jesus. He has to be your number one. You won't have that happen at 3 or 4 o'clock if you already gave him your best and first thing in the morning. And so, and I can't get into all the ways you need to do that and how you have a thought process about that. I teach it to my students in my mentorship. But the thing is he has to be number one. Purity is number two. Number three is obedience. If he says no, it's a no. If he says yes, it's a yes. And so if he says go, you go. If he says stay, you stay. When you're obedient, you have a protection in that obedience. Does it make it easy? No. Does that mean the devil is just going to back off? Heck no. Of course not. He's probably going to pound it even harder. And I'm going to get into that in a minute with the dream, how they doubled up. So many of you know, I have released words about we shall recover all, that the Lord's preparing the reckoning to return all that's been stolen from you. Well, that's amazing. We all want that. And he has told me double. And I have no problem declaring double. But that's the reason why there was two by two they began to gather. Because as soon as we have knowledge and we begin to declare and we have breakthrough, the devil's not stupid. He's annoying, but you know, he's a little sly. And he's like, oh, really? You're going to declare double return? Well, then we're going to double up our game. And that's what they were doing in the dream. So then you better double up your time with the Lord. You better double up your purity. You better double up your obedience. You better make sure everything is in alignment so you can have that protection. That is very, very, very important. And so the key is, there's like several keys, you guys. I could do many keys. He has to be your first love. You have to spend time with him. Every morning has to be Jesus, whatever your morning is. And I'm just telling you, it's not the same at night. You get distracted. You end up doing other things. It's not the same. Give him your first. Number two, purity. Unless you spend time with God, you can't become pure. And honestly, there's a whole other level of purity the body of Christ has not seen yet. And it's not physical purity, that's religion. It's the heart. It's your intentions. It's what you're motivated by. Are you manipulating? Is there manipulation in that? Are you saying and doing what you're doing to get your way? Are you being pure of heart? And so I could go on and on that area of it, but there's a whole nother level of purity the Lord is going after in the body of Christ. And it is not going to be physical religion. It's not going to be going to church. Going to church doesn't make you holy. Going to church doesn't make you saved. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian. I'm just saying it does not. Okay. So with that in mind, the dragons are forming two by two. This is your warning, body of Christ. Pay attention. Go through the steps I just told you and go through your life, your home, your ministry, your call. So here's the thing. People think having a call makes them pure and holy and godly and great and marvelous and anointed. Okay. You can't follow the call without the three steps I just told you. Presence, purity, and obedience. Your call means nothing if all of heaven isn't behind it. Your call means nothing. The call doesn't make you anything. Okay? So, and I want to throw that out there because some people think being called by Jesus and being chosen for a specific task on the earth all of a sudden makes you holy and righteous and great. That's religion. He still expects purity. You have to still put him first. He has to be your first love. And you have to have obedience. He expects you to be obedient. And so not religious, but obedient. And so the dragons are coming out two by two, you guys. They're gathering. They're doubling up. We're believing to receive double for our trouble. Well, they want to bring double the trouble. Because they know we're preparing to recover all. And they're not happy. So the Lord said, this is the time, body of Christ. If you want to be on the receiving end of recovering all, double, 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 then you need to recognize that this is the warning. And that's basically what the dream was saying. Liberty, they're doubling up. The demons are doubling up. They're joining forces. Because they want to disrupt the recovery process. The recovery process is necessary for each of us to be under an open heaven, to have what we need to follow the call and go to Kenya or go to, for me, Pakistan or go to whatever. I don't even know. Whatever. Costa Rica. Japan. I don't even know. Wherever God's telling you to go. We have to have heavenly backing. And if we want that, we need to pay attention. We need to be alert. We need to position ourselves to be protected to where we actually have an authority to close windows, to shut the doors and lock them up. And the enemy has no way in. We decide that by the three things that I said. Presence, first love. Number two, purity, which only comes from being in his presence, you guys, because that's where we learn how dumb we are and how much we need him. And that's our place to repent and become clean. Two, purity is practicing it. Number three is obedience. And so I love you guys. I'm going to go. I hope you enjoyed the Kenya stories, you guys. Man, it was so beautiful. And we're beginning to raise money now for Tanzania. Who knows what God's going to do while we're there. We're going to be going there. I've been asked to be the main speaker for a large pastor's conference that they do once a year for the entire nation. And that's the end of July. And I've been asked to come and speak and pour the fire and the apostolic anointing into them. And I'm going to just, I'm there to renew, refresh. But I'm called to do that too. Not just to minister to regular people in the body of Christ, but those who are already in leadership, so they can be refreshed and set ablaze again and all that. And so, and who knows what amazing things God's going to be up to when we go there. I'm sure it'll be much bigger than just that. So if you would like to support that, We need to raise about $40,000 to cover the team to be able to go do that, because we have to cover everything, the flights, the hotel, the food, anything and everything. We have to cover that has anything to do with that. Then I want to be ready to be a blessing when we're on the ground, just like we did for Pastor Juma. And so if you want to put seed in good ground with what we're doing, we would be honored to have you participate with that. And I'm so thankful for those of you who already have, okay? I have no words. You're sowing into good ground. God's doing amazing things. And I declare massive overflow of blessing, hundredfold, on every seed you sow into Spirit Move or into anything that God's called me to do, even if the whole team doesn't go with me. I declare hundredfold, because it is good soil, you guys. We do everything God's told me to do. I'm obedient, and I don't play games, and I ain't messing with no demons, and I can't be bought, and that irritates people. Then they get pruned. Anyway, here's the thing. I love you guys, and I'm going to go, and hello, Prophecy Now. Sorry, I don't mean to forget about you guys, the podcast. I love you guys. Thank you for faithfully listening. And I was going to mention some current events on this, but it's going to make the video too long. I'll save that for my next video, because many of you have sent me emails with questions about, what did I think of this that was happening? What do I think of that that's happening? Now, what do I think about this that's happening? Things I have not, like, publicly talked about. some things I don't know if you want to hear my opinion. Because I just think big old butt whoopings need to happen. So that's what I got to say. Come on, Jesus. Anyway, I love you guys. I will talk to you later. Lord, we just thank you. We praise you. We honor you. We say we will do what's required of us to have the protection. We trust that you're going to show us what we need to do, Lord, to close all of our doors, all of our windows, so that as the demons are doubling up, the dragons are doubling up, they will not be able to come in and touch anything in our realm, our ministry, our home, our children, our family, anything, our finances. He will not have a way in. And we will do whatever you need us to do, Lord, so we can have that amazing heavenly protection backing us up. And we thank you, Lord. Give us your wisdom. Give us your knowledge. Show us what we need to do and to fully walk it out, to close all of our windows and our doors tightly. To basically protect ourselves from the enemy. Okay, I love you guys. Be blessed. And I will talk to you another time, and I'll probably look much nicer and more refreshed. We can only hope. Amen. Have an amazing day, guys.